Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
Today's scripture reading comes from Proverbs 16, verses 1 through 3. Proverbs 16, 1 through 3. To human belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's way seems pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He shall establish your plans.
So we began a new month. Last week, we thought about our verse for this month that we're keeping on our mind and in our hearts. It's Mark 10:27, Jesus' words about the power of God. If you would, let's all say this together. With man, it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. It's a powerful reminder that God is able, as we've been emphasizing all year. We also began last week a journey through a book of wisdom. It's located in the wisdom literature section of Scripture. And Proverbs that we read in this book are more than just one-liners. They're lifelines. They're statements that can help mold and shape the way that we live and can provide wisdom from God. And today we need those more than ever. It wasn't too long ago that a newspaper in Des Moines, the Des Moines Register, reported on a beauty shop owner named Mildred Pfister. And she was determined to defy a stereotype that often surrounds beauty shops, and that is she was determined to make sure that there wouldn't be any sort of gossip or juicy conversation, as she put it, that took place in her place of business. She made an official rule in her beauty shop in Jefferson, Iowa, that there was no gossip allowed. She said, there's absolutely no talking about other people. She said, talk about you and yours if you like, but in the meantime, no gossip. She said that's allowed her to develop friendships that she couldn't have developed otherwise. Isn't it interesting that there would be a news outlet that would think it was so interesting that a business that said no gossip was worthy of an article in the newspaper? What does that tell us about our tendency to say things about other people? And in fact, that tendency being so common that if someone decides, you know what, we're not going to do that, it makes it into the newspaper. Or maybe we think of a more recent news story where someone who had reported the news for years suddenly found himself in the middle of the news. NBC News anchor Brian Williams made news because it came out that he had exaggerated and even fabricated stories about times when he was on the field reporting that made it look as if he was closer to the action than it was. In fact, it came out as he told a helicopter story about a helicopter that had been attacked, and all of a sudden, instead of being someone who came along an hour later, he was in the helicopter. He was there with the attack. And it was interesting to see not only the public's reaction, but his own reaction. As in recent interviews, he said that it was something about his ego that made him think he had to be quicker and funnier, and he had to have better stories than anyone else. Here's someone who is at the height of popularity. Someone who had fame and fortune and all the trappings that came along with that. Living in New York, being seen by millions of people in a top-rated news broadcast. He was at the top of his game and the top of his career. And yet, there was something there that sort of gave him an urge to just exaggerate, just to kind of make up some things that probably are harmless but might make him look a little bit different. Isn't it interesting that we all struggle, no matter where we are in our careers or no matter where we are in the socioeconomic scale, we all feel that urge to make ourselves appear better than we are. The passage we just read reminds us that human beings have a lot of ideas that seem good to them, but God is the one who guides and directs our paths. And in nowhere is that more clearly seen than in the way we talk. Last week we looked at the difference between the wise and foolish in Proverbs. Today we're going to look at what we say. Now you've probably heard the theme or the phrase over the years that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now, for some reason that has endured over the years, maybe because it rhymes a little bit, but when we get to a certain age we realize that actually it's exactly the opposite that's true. In fact, we find out very soon that actually, we can get hurt. We can have hurts that last our entire lives, wounds that are there by words that people say. Just think about your own life. How easy is it to forget about scrapes and bruises and broken bones that may have taken place when you were riding a bike or playing as a child? We sort of managed to get over those, but can you remember what people said to you as a child? Can you remember something someone said that just dug deep and stayed there? Our words are powerful. And so this morning we're going to look at what Proverbs has to tell us and what God in His wisdom would have us do when it comes to using our words. There's a New Testament book that many places sounds a lot like Proverbs, the book of James. And the book of James describes the tongue with a lot of colorful metaphors. That it's a restless poison full of deadly evil. And one of the things it attributes to the power of the tongue is being able to set on fire a tremendous blaze. We can picture the damaging power of fire. We know what happens when we say things that instigate that kind of destruction. And so the book of Proverbs is clear that our words have that kind of power. Just listen to some of the ways our words are described in Proverbs. Here's Proverbs 10 and verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Or 11:9. With his mouth the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered. Proverbs 11:11. By the blessing of the upright a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked it is overthrown. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Just like we saw the distinction between wisdom and foolishness last week, we see the distinction between wise words and foolish words several times in Proverbs. And one thing becomes abundantly clear as we look at the power of our words. Our words have the power to be heartbreaking. Our words can break hearts. Our words can do damage to others that we might not fully understand. And there are different ways Proverbs highlight that. One of the first ways in which our words can do this kind of damage is when we say things that aren't true. And one of the most common themes in the book of Proverbs is the theme of lying. An Old Testament phrase for this is bearing false witness. But terms for lying and false witness and deception show up a lot of times in Proverbs. Remember, Proverbs, since it's wisdom literature, is a little bit different than reading a narrative like one of the Gospels. And so instead of necessarily going chapter by chapter, we're looking at broad themes that seem to crop up over and over again. It's that same reason that our parents and grandparents would repeat advice over and over again, because it was important and we needed to understand it. But our words can break others' hearts. God is serious about lying. Proverbs 12:17 tells us, whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. And look at what this verse says about a false witness in Proverbs 19:9, that he will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. These are serious words for something that we might consider to be on the lower tier of sins. I mean, after all, if someone confesses lying, that's different than confessing something serious, right? And so we sort of say, well, it sort of belongs down here, and being untruthful and saying things that aren't quite accurate, that's not that big a deal. And yet, we're reminded over and over again that it matters to God, especially in a time in which if someone was settling a dispute before a judge or a ruler, false witness could be incredibly devastating. If someone came along that said something that wasn't true and someone else agreed with them, all of a sudden, it might not be true, but if you're accused by more than one witness, you're in a difficult situation. You may remember that in the Gospels, that's what happened with Jesus. The Pharisees and those who were seeking Jesus' death finally managed to scrounge up a couple of false witnesses who could agree on something to accuse Jesus with. So this is very straightforward, but we do have a tendency, and I can think of myself in this case, we have a tendency maybe not to take lying as seriously as God does. Have you ever caught yourself exaggerating a story and you don't even know why? There's nothing you specifically have to gain from that. You just want to make it a little more entertaining or a little more enjoyable. Maybe you want to impress someone. Have you ever caught yourself saying things that aren't true and you can't even figure out what you gain from it? You just don't want to look foolish in front of someone else. You don't want to look uninformed or out of it. It's a temptation we all face. In fact, Robert Feldman, who's a psychologist at the University of Massachusetts, he's written a lot in this field, and he ran an experiment that videoed 121 pairs of students who had never met before. So they just met, and he videoed a 10-minute conversation. After doing that, he would ask the students, were you truthful in that 10-minute conversation when you were talking about who you are and what your experiences have been? And most of them said they were quite sure they'd spoken truthfully. And then they watched the video of the conversation. And they had to listen to everything they said and ask themselves, was I really telling the truth? 60% realized that in a 10-minute conversation with someone they'd never met, they lied at least one time. Isn't that interesting? They lied at least one time. There was some kind of misrepresentation that was in there. 60%, over half of the participants, felt that way. And some of them lied, especially, he said, some of the men would lie to try to make themselves look better, maybe in a prideful way to send an impression that was positive. They said that many of the women who reported lying did so because they wanted to sort of soften the edges of maybe a harsh opinion they had, or they wanted to try to maybe say something that wasn't quite true but connect with the other person. No matter what the motivation is, it's interesting that we all face that subtle temptation. And so truthfulness is a challenge, but it's important. In fact, here's the way it relates to wisdom and foolishness in Proverbs 10 and verse 18. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Whoever seeks to hurt someone else by saying something that's not true is linked to foolishness. In fact, lying follows that foolish plan we talked about last week. In Proverbs, wisdom and foolishness is often seen in terms of long-term versus short-term. That something foolish might help me in the short-term, but it's not going to help me in the long-term. In fact, if we viewed all our decisions in terms of what's going to help in the short-term and what's going to help in the long-term, we'd probably make better choices. But listen to the way lying is described. In Proverbs 12, verse 19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is for the moment. It might make me look better or feel better momentarily to say something that's not true. But Proverbs reminds me that if I'm truthful, that will endure forever. A lying tongue will only help me in the moment. And if I'm buying into the short term, then I'm buying into this foolish line of thinking in Proverbs. I'm trying to solve a long-term problem with a short-term solution. Proverbs are also very clear about the damage that lies can cause. Proverbs 12, verse 22 says they are an abomination to the Lord. Or 14:25, a truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. The implication being someone who tells the truth could save a life, but someone who doesn't could hurt, could cause deep damage. And so lying is one of those areas we're tempted to break hearts and break spirits with our words. Another is insults. We see that crop up a couple of times in Proverbs, just insulting other people. Not only can insults hurt others, but they're often foolish. In fact, Proverbs 11, verse 12 would say, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Or what about this in Proverbs 18 and verse 6? A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. That's the English Standard Version. I think that's a pretty interesting way to render that. His mouth invites a beating. And a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. We live in a time where words are cheap, where you can take your choice, take your pick of any social media outlet you'd like, and you can say just about whatever you want to say to an audience just about however large you'd like it to be, and all you have to do is hit return. All you have to do is post something quickly. You could put something online, you could tell somebody something without even stopping to realize the harm that it causes. And again, this kind of insult, this kind of tough talk that might be prized by our culture, and we might think, wow, isn't that great? Isn't that clever? Isn't that something that really shows him he's not taking any prisoners? He's really serious about doing it. Well, is that what it is? Or could it be something that needs to go unsaid? In fact, in a culture that tempts us to say whatever it takes to get a laugh or to get power or to get that sense of being on top of someone else, putting someone else down so I can feel like I'm on a higher level, the Scripture stands in stark contrast, saying, you know, there are many times that'll lead you to a place you don't want to be. And if you keep talking that way, you may run up against someone who's bigger and stronger, and you may be inviting, as the English Standard would say, you may be inviting punishment, maybe inviting a beating. And insults may show that we're simply talking too much. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. I think this is why James would remind us to be quick to listen, but slow to speak. That we don't always have to say what we're thinking. In fact, there's wisdom and there's prudence in restraining our lips. Around my house, growing up, one of the phrases that we would hear is unspoken thoughts. You don't have to say everything you think. You know, especially when you're in junior high and you feel like everyone should listen to what you have to say, or maybe I would feel like everyone should be entitled to my opinion, I would hear, now wait a minute, you can have some unspoken thoughts. You don't have to say everything you think. That's not just a piece of wisdom that's endured through the years. It's actually in Scripture. That restraining our lips, that making sure our words have been thought through and tested before we say them, is an indicator of wisdom. But then there's another way in which Proverbs identifies harmful words. And that is in one of maybe the most insidious and the most tempting ways we can dishonor God with what we say. And that is the realm of gossip. We already talked about how it was newsworthy that someone would say, there's no gossip allowed in my place of business. And gossip can start at an early age. As we think about what we say as children, we might not even mean to share things we shouldn't share. I always like that story of a teacher who sent a note home at the beginning of the year that said, if you promise not to believe everything you hear about what happens in class, I'll promise not to believe everything I hear about what happens at home. I thought that was a pretty good statement between parents and teachers, because sometimes as children, we reveal all kinds of things. But then as we grow older, that temptation to share something that isn't really ours to share is still there. We might even come up with religious reasons for doing it. We might even say, well, I need to know about this because that'll help me pray better for someone else. I really need to know what to pray for. Or I really need to share it with this person. I know they'll care. I'm not supposed to say anything, but they won't mind, and they won't tell anybody else. And all of a sudden, we're justifying to ourselves something that can be destructive. There's a reason that in Matthew 18, when Jesus talked about a problem we have with a brother, the first step was to go directly to him. It was to cut down on the damage that can be caused by gossip. We know how devastating it can be if we hear something about ourselves that isn't true and that's hurtful, but we don't always think about the consequences when we share it. Here's what Proverbs has to say about that. Proverbs 11:13. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Notice the vivid picture here in Proverbs 18 and verse 8. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. One of the reasons it's so tempting to gossip is because, for the moment, sometimes it really feels good. Sometimes we really want to know what's happening in someone else's life. Maybe it makes us feel better to know if someone else has a struggle. Maybe it makes us think, well, my life isn't so bad if they're dealing with this. Maybe we're upset with a person and finding out that there was something else going on they weren't telling anyone about. That kind of feels good. But again, it's that momentary pleasure. Because we know what the results can be. Being a true friend means keeping consequences. In fact, in Proverbs 20:19, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. And the advice here is do not associate with a simple babbler. You know, if there's someone that you talk to that's always telling you gossip about someone else, you can probably rest assured that they're talking to other people about you. This idea in Proverbs of not associating with someone who's going to throw around slander, who's going to simply be blabbering to others, that's not the mark of wisdom. And we're encouraged to think about the importance of keeping confidence. Our words can be heartbreaking. But another message that Proverbs tells us, and what we really need to know this morning, is our words can heal hearts. Our words can help and encourage others. In fact, there are phrases used in Proverbs that point to the life-giving power of words. Phrases like, there's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts in Proverbs 12:18. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Somebody can use their words as a sword to attack us, but the tongue of the wise, the words of someone who has wisdom, heals those kinds of wounds. Or maybe Proverbs 16:24, which describes gracious words like a honeycomb. Or Proverbs 25:11, which says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I love what 25:25 says, like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Good news is like cold water to a soul that's thirsting for refreshment. And that also indicates a responsibility for us. Towards the end of Proverbs, in verse 8 of Proverbs 31, we read, open your mouth for the mute, or the rights of all who are destitute. I have a responsibility to use my words in a way that can heal others who can't speak for themselves. I don't know when the last time was you thought about the power of your words. But isn't it encouraging to realize that, yes, I can say things that are destructive and I need to avoid those. Proverbs tells me that's important. But I can also use my words in ways that minister to others and heal others and make an impact I might never completely understand. This was brought home to me earlier this week. On Monday, I was part of a group of ministers and other volunteers who were going through some training on suicide prevention. I know we've recently had a similar training event here in Columbia. Obviously an important issue. And our facilitator was sharing a story of one young man who had gotten to a point where he wanted to take his own life. Fortunately, he survived that attempt and since then has gone around giving talks and lectures trying to help those who are helping those who are struggling. But one of the things that stood out to me was the fact that even when he was on his way to do this, he made a deal with himself. He was in a public place. And he said, you know, if just one person comes up and talks to me, I won't do this. If just one person comes up and asks me how I am or greets me, I'm not going to do this. Now, that didn't happen. And as the rest of his story goes, he did make that attempt that was fortunately not successful. And since then, he has really been an incredible advocate trying to reach out to others who were in similar situations to the one he was. But just that one example, I know that's an extreme one. I know it's unlikely that we'll run into someone this afternoon who has that same thought on their minds. But it might be that people are longing for our words more than we know. And I never know what a conversation I have with someone else can do. I think that's one of the powerful things about us coming together on Wednesday nights in the middle of the week. You know, there are some times on Wednesday nights you might feel pretty tired and exhausted. I can understand that. And sometimes we wonder, well, why am I even coming in the middle of the week? One of the reasons is because there's no telling what encouragement we might give someone else who feels like they're stressed out beyond being able to function, is not sure where to turn, but then the words of a Christian friend could recharge them and keep them going. I believe that's one of the designs God has for His family. Think about the ways our words can impact others. Proverbs also tells us that our words can diffuse conflict. And in maybe one of the more famous Proverbs, in Proverbs 15, you have this contrast between one answer that says a soft answer turns away wrath in verse 1, and then you have this idea of not only that, but the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, the mouth of the fools pours out folly. So in one case, you have a soft answer that's turning away wrath. And here's the contrast. In the other end, you've got a mouth that's pouring out foolishness, that's pouring out folly. Which do we choose? You also have what some would look at and say is a contradiction in Proverbs 26 and verse 4, where it says, don't answer a fool according to his folly. In the next verse, it says, answer a fool according to his folly. And so you might wonder, which is it? Do you not answer a fool according to his folly, or do you answer a fool according to his folly? My favorite response that I've heard to that when someone has asked that question is, well, it depends on the fool. It depends on who you're dealing with. There are times you might go one way, there are times you might go another. Proverbs gives us general principles, but the idea is I can use my words to diffuse situations that could be potentially destructive. I could use my words in a way that would heal rather than hurt. Our words can be heartbreaking. Our words can heal hearts. But either way, our words will reveal our hearts. Because here's the thing Proverbs tells us about what we say. What we say is not just something that exists outside us, words that we choose just to throw out at someone. Words that we say reveal what is in our hearts. Which is why Jesus would say in Luke 6:45 that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so it's not just that I'm choosing things to say and then I say them and they don't have any sort of impact. They could have impact on others, but they also tell others a lot about me. It's easy sometimes to say, well, I just get angry and, you know, I just have to get it out of my system. And once I go off on someone, I mean, once I really just get it out there, then it's done and I feel so much better. Well, that may be true. I may feel better. But someone else might be hurting. And now someone else might have a different insight into what's in my heart. Because the words of my mouth reflect the thoughts and intentions of my heart. So how do we change the words that we say? It's not just about behavior change. That's important. But I'll never have a lasting change in my behavior until I have a lasting change in my heart. I'll never have a change in the words that I say until I have a change in the thoughts that I focus on. And so it matters what we say. Our words are not meaningless. Even in a world where words are cheap and where we see them everywhere and where it's so easy for us to talk and to be heard in so many forms, words still matter. And most of all, they matter because they show what's in my heart. The good news for the Christian is when it comes to becoming a child of God, God has given us a way that not only our actions can be changed, but that our hearts can be changed. He's given us a message that if I believe it, if I let it dwell inside me, if I take it in and allow it to form the way I think and allow it to mold and shape the way that I live and allow it to change my heart, then all of a sudden, it'll be a little bit easier for me to change my words. That doesn't mean it'll be simple or easy and it'll happen overnight. But it means God's given me a way to change what's in my heart so I can change what's coming out of my mouth and what's impacting the lives of others. Our tongue can cause a fire. It can spark something that can be destructive. But fire can also be powerful. Fire in a fireplace can give warmth. It can give guidance. So the question is, how are we going to use that power? Are we going to be content to just look at our situation and our surroundings and the culture around us and say, that's going to determine how I speak and how I live and how I think? Or will we allow God to change us from within? If you need to have your heart revealed before God, if you need to have your life laid bare and coming back to Him, putting that frustration, even that timid skepticism where we say, I don't even know if I could really change. If you need to put that behind you, and put your trust in God to encourage you to get back on track, we can do that this morning. It may be that you need to become a child of God and begin your journey. The God that can change your heart has given us His Word. If you respond according to His Word, if you decide to turn your life around to put Christ on in baptism, you can know that God is with you. You can leave here assured of where you will spend eternity. Let's all leave here with the assurance that we're serving the God who loves us, the God who saves us, and the God we will live with forever. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and as we sing together.